You can turn over to John 14. Cannot get away from this chapter. Pretty heavy stuff in here. I'm going to introduce something new today. It's a perspective we have that needs to change. And one of the things that we're after very strong is how this gospel works. Amen. Instead of just trying to replace it and go build something in the flesh, you know, we've just stopped and said, God, we really want to know how this works, because this gospel doesn't need a lot of help once it gets going. But until we can get it to release, and you need to understand, you play a part in that. People get the idea that God's just going to do it and I have no part. It's just not true. You have a major part in this. If God could do it without you, he would have already done it. He gave it to us and he works with us. And that's why we have to do it his way. Amen. And when we do it his way, it'll work. And we're getting there. Amen. One of the things that we're desiring the most is answered prayer. To be able to come to our Father with confidence, pray to him. Now, I know every one of you pray to him, but if you really be honest, how often do we actually get answered prayer? I mean, you know, one out of 20, 30. But be able to pray to him daily. What about Jesus said, could I not call upon my Father right now? And he would right now send 12 legions of angels. How would you like that kind of operation? To call upon him right now? Some 20 guys with big sticks around you and about to take you out and said, you know, you're just messing with the wrong guy right now. Because I could call upon my Father right now. But to have that kind of operation where you could pray, whether it's power, you're standing in front of somebody who's diseased, crippled for life, maimed, lame, blind, deaf. And we do pray, and God does do things. But to have a consistent operation that the world would know. How about this? Jesus said this. Go to John 17 real quick. I want you to see something. Verse 22. You've read this a lot in your lifetime. And the glory which thou gavest me. And that glory is the oneness, that they may be one as we are one. And he kind of described what the oneness he was talking about. You're not going to find the oneness of heaven trying to get oneness here. You go into Christ to find the oneness. You got to go into him, because that's where you were made one. That's where you can dwell in him and he dwells in you. He says, I in them and thou in me. I in them, thou in me. Did you get that part? When you really get a revelation, you'll stop praying for the Father to come and visit you. God, visit us. Did you get that? He goes, I'm going to be in you, and the Father's in me. So therefore, my Father and I dwell in you. Why would you ask God to come and visit when he already dwells? It's because we don't have the revelation of the indwelling, and we don't know how to tap in the indwelling, and we're used to God coming down when he's already here. He's one God that is above all. He's through all, but he's also in you all. But until you get the revelation of that, you're going to seek God where the word of God has granted your perspective of where he is. Did you get that? If you see God in heaven, way, way up there, if that's your perspective that was given to you by the word, then you're going to go try to find him up there. But what God wanted is to remove the separation and the distance. If you see God here, because the Father dwelleth in you, boy, then you've removed the separation. It's a whole lot easier to get in touch with him when he's right there in you and next to you than when he's 1,000 miles away from you. Amen? Because 1,000 miles away from you is the unbelief that's causing the lack of manifested prayer or answered prayer in your life. I in them, thou in me. But that revelation is going to only come by your faith. Your faith has to appropriate what he's already done. Jesus can live in you for a lifetime, and you could rarely visit that fullness of where he abides in you. But he's there. Well, how come I don't feel him? Because you can only go into that realm by faith. It is a separate jurisdiction from this one, but it does live in you in a place called the kingdom of God. Is that heavy enough? Hallelujah. And the world may know, look at this, that thou hast sent me. Now, he's talking about the world now. And thou hast loved them as thou loves me. All right? You know what he's saying? He says, the world may know that Pastor Chuck, the world, say the world, may know that God the Father is with him the way he was with Christ. We think, oh, well, it's my love that the world will know. I'll tell you a whole lot more. It's the power. It's the glory of the Father manifesting through power to say, you can't do that. Man can't do that. That was his prayer, that the world would know that the same Father that was with him now abides and dwells in you, in him, and he's manifesting again through you, and the world will know God's with you the way he was with the Son. Until the world knows that God's with the church again, we're not going to get the job done. We're going to have to revert back to the means of, you know, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, marketing techniques, make it shine real good because we're clouds without the water. We look like a cloud. We think it's going to give the rain. Well, when it comes time, the church still just can't produce the goods for the world. But when the church comes into the glory and starts producing by the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, then we're going to come into that realm and the world will say, God's with you. That is right. The same Father that lived in him and demonstrated through him lives in him in me. Because that same Christ lives in me. And the Father's in him, and he's dwelling again, and he's manifesting again. It's not I that liveth. I'm crucified. But Christ is living in me. You're seeing the manifested Son all over again. That's a lot better than religion. All the world will know that we love you. The world's like, not impressed. I love you, brother. I love you. I love you, brother. The world's not impressed. The true love the world will be impressed with is when they come and say, hey, I have someone in me that's far greater than me, but he dwells. He's always dwelling. I just found out how to go in the temple where he is, and he's dwelling in me the same way he's dwelling in Christ, because Christ was in me, and that same Christ is going to show you that the Father loves you today. Because he's going to demonstrate that love. He's not going to leave you in that condition. That's where the church must get. And I'll tell you right now, I don't care who says he's coming back when, until the church in this final hour comes into that, he won't come back until the church enters into fullness. I heard a preacher, I couldn't believe he said it. He says, everything God's wanted to do, he's already done. He can come back in any day. I'm like, oh no. No, 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 no. Do you think he's going to take his church out in the last days, take them out of the earth, the rapture of the church with no manifestation to this generation? Oh, come on. Pray for that man. Turn in your Bibles now to John 14. That was a mini exhortation. I just knew there was something more than what he was saying. Let's think about the word. Until you get there, you can't understand what he's saying. Holy Ghost got to bring you there. And then, oh, that's what you were saying. Amen? Verse 13 in John 14, because I know many of you have done this, like me, 100 times. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. How many of you have ever asked anything in his name? Raise your hand. How many times did he not do it? Did he walk away? Just have faith. You know, we'll stand with you in faith, but reality is it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. You ever pray for somebody and, well, you know, now there's a timing. You got to walk it out. Could you imagine Jesus telling the leper, yeah, I'll pray for you. Prayed for him. But, you know, there's going to be a timing on this kind of thing. No, they got healed right there. He touched the casket of the dead man. He's healed right there. Raised from the dead. Amen. Well, you know, we're waiting on God to do that. Well, he just said it right here in the previous verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Of course, we got to get a definition of that. The works that I do, you will do also. And greater than these. You know what we left out? That little last sentence, which is everything. Because these greater works will you do because. Everyone say because. I go to the Father. That was the secret. See, because I go to the Father is why. Everyone go, uh-huh. He says this in John 15. He says it like this in verse 7. If Everyone say if. A lot of the gospel and the power thereof revolves around that little if right there. Amen? If. That's a big if. Everyone say if. You abide in me. Of course, everyone, I don't know anybody that says they don't abide. You know what I mean? Kind of like asking somebody that's proud, are you proud? I have never known a proud person yet to actually admit that they've got pride. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Everyone say, that's a big if. But if you get here, if you qualified, you can do this, then you can ask, say ask, what you will, and it'll be done for you. So obviously, if we're asking and it's not being done, we're not really have fulfilled his definition of abiding. Amen? Praying, even for 1 hour a day, I'm going to tell you this right now because I used to think this, does not constitute abiding in him. Do you get that? Praying for 3 hours a day, believe it or not. Because I'm cutting my teeth on prayer. I was trained to pray a lot. In the early days, I prayed if I knew what I knew now. I'm spending a whole lot more time this time entering in than I am just praying. Do you understand that? I used to pray, believe it or not, 6 hours a day. Six. I time it. I had it all on a piece of paper. Well, I was abiding. In my mind, that was abiding. That wasn't abiding. That was praying. But I was doing certain forms of prayer. But now I've learned how to enter in. We're learning how to enter. You've got to go with a focus in mind when you're going to prayer that you're going to meet with God. Not just put in some legalistic time. Because you can pray and parts of your mind can be in left field. You ever worship God? Just worship him and your mind's just floating somewhere else, solving yesterday's or tomorrow's problem. And you're floating off, but the words are there. You can do that easy praying in tongues because your spirit's praying. Your mind can go watch TV and you pray in tongues. Touchdown! Touchdown! You don't need your mind when your spirit's praying. I used to pray for hours a day. My mind would be out doing everything else. Finally, I said, well, I can do two things at one time. So I pray in the Holy Ghost and read the Bible at the same time. But I still put my time in. That's what I considered abiding. Good thing that that was a revelation gift. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. So you pray in tongues a lot, you get lots of revelation. Amen. I want the spirit of revelation, then start praying in tongues. But you ought to take the people who have already been doing this for 20 years and at least know what they know so the Holy Ghost doesn't have to go retrain what he's taken me 20 years to know. Get what I know. And then let him build on that. Otherwise, you're going to take a long time getting what's already out there. Amen? That's like walking up to a building and say, well, I'm going to build the same foundation. Why don't you just walk on the other foundation? Get up on their foundation and then build from there. But it still wasn't entering in. What he's training us now is how to enter into. You got to move into him. Everything that God is found in Christ. Everything the Father has, he placed into Christ, and he moved you into him. Your life, your inheritance, the fullness, all of it is in him. It's a place called in him. Everyone say in him. He's in me. But he's more than just that knowledge of, oh yeah, he's in me. No, you got to move into that temple where he is. Amen. But he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide, then you can ask. Now he says it again in John 16. Look at this. Verse 22. You now have therefore sorrow, because he's telling him, I'm leaving. He goes, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man will take from you. And look at that, verse 23. This is a huge, this is another one. This is like the if. In that day, everyone say, in that day. This is exactly what he was talking about, because I go to the Father. Don't miss those little ones. He says, you're going to do the works I do because I go to the Father. Now he's saying, in that day, something's going to happen in that day. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Say, in that day. You got to know what that day was. You got to know, because I go to the Father, that's why these works are going to manifest. Because you're going to ask the Father in my name. Now, here's how we've, every one of us, myself included, you got to pray in the name. So when you have a prayer, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I ask you for this. Amen. Or you say, in the name of Jesus. And there's actually teachings out there, you know, you got to get aggressive. It's how boldly, in the name, in the name. So those of you that are, you know, you like to work this stuff, I said in the name. And that didn't work. And you go, I said in the name. I know none of you have ever done that. I have. Like, your vocal octave waves are going to move heaven. You got to get it to a certain octave. And as soon as you make it to that octave and you put all your mights, then God will answer. Boy, have we missed that one. Do you know why? Because he wasn't even talking about saying that. He was talking about a position you were praying from. He said, you're going to ask the Father in my name. Because you're going to come into me. You can't even talk to him outside of me. I am the only doorway that you can even approach him through. You can't go around. John 10, he goes, any man goes around, he's a thief and a robber. I am the door. By me, any man enter in. Enter in. He was talking about praying from a position, not saying just the name. But there is power in that name. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're going to truly get consistent authority and answered prayer, you must enter into his name. You got to enter into him. And so let's go back and find out what he's talking about. Amen. He builds. Go back to John 14. This is why the works are going to happen, because you're going to actually be able to pray to the Father. He's going to answer. It's going to shock you when he does it. The first time it's going to shock you, but be honest with you, you're going to know why. Because you're going to be in the right place. Do you know that in the Old Testament, they couldn't even come into the temple until they made a sacrifice? Because of the sin that was blocking, they had to come in and sacrifice the blood of an innocent animal. And that sacrifice gave them access. And then they could make their request. Christ was the sacrifice. Do you know that they had to come to the temple? Do you know that? They had to come to the temple to make their request. Do you know we have to come to the temple? Not this one, not this building, but the temple of Christ. Whose house you are, Hebrews says. You got to come into him. And then when you're in him, you pray in, say in, his name. You're in him. Because we don't know a lot about that place. We pray outside and shout to the Lord. God, do you know I'm here? You ever gotten frustrated like that? There's many trees I've kicked in my lifetime. Many walls. You know, you get frustrated sometime. I know none of you have ever gotten frustrated, but I've gotten frustrated. Because I want a God that I can pray to and know he's going to answer. Now, if he's not answering, I'm not going to spend all my life saying, well, you know, one day he'll do it. We might be doing something wrong. Or we may not have aligned with what he's actually saying, but we don't know what he was saying. We're not getting the result. And God's silence many times is trying to tell you, you still don't have it yet. Can you imagine that? That thought that we still might not have arrived yet. And God's silence was not designed to frustrate you. God's silence was designed to tell you, you still haven't made it into alignment with what I said. You're not in my program. Amen. Now, God, with his grace, will do things outside his program for you. How many of you ever had that happen? What we're looking for is the consistency. We're looking for a God that we can pray to daily, to see him manifest daily, to operate daily with us. And to get that, we're going to have to get into his program. Amen. His program is found in this one person, Jesus. God's program, but it's found in a place called in Him, where we pray in His name. Amen. Now go to John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He was talking to the Jews there. He goes, look, you believe in the Father. He goes, now believe in me. Because there's only one way to Him now. Because I'm about to change the whole system. All that temple you've been praying in and all that's about to come inside you now. I'm going to bring all that in you. And then you're going to still approach God, but you're going to approach the Father through me now, the Son in you. All right? And so what He says, in my Father's house or my Father's kingdom, there's many mansions. That's not the one you're going to live in, although there are mansions there because too many people have gone there and talked about them. But that's not what He's talking about here. In my Father's house, there were many dwelling places. He goes, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. See, you could not go and dwell in the Father the way He dwelt in the Father. Because He constantly said to the book of John, said, look, the Father's in me. Even Jesus, when He came, He says, I can do nothing of myself. It's my Father that's doing this. It's Him dwelling in me that's doing this. But I'm going to go prepare a place for you. The reason I came is because the Father doesn't want to live outside you anymore. He wants to live inside you. And I'm the only one that can make that happen. I am the beloved Son in whom He is well pleased, because I'm going to give Him the sacrifice He wants. And when I give Him the sacrifice, He's going to come to abide in you. The Father you've seen manifested in that temple is coming to manifest into your temple. Because I'm bringing Him in with me. That's why you must believe that He's in me and I'm in Him. That was His message. Believe that He is in me because He's coming to live in you. Now, what we're talking about is praying in His name. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. All right. So He says, my Father's, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I told you, I'm going to prepare. He says, I'm going. Everyone say, I'm going. What did He say in verse 12? Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, works that I do, he shall do also greater works than these, because I go. It's because I'm going to Him is why this is going to work for you. You got to understand what He said in that verse 12. Because I'm going to fight. You got to understand He was building when He said verse 12. Let's read it again. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also greater than these shall he do, because... Now, He's building on something He already said. And you got to understand, when He says, because I go, He's already thought that you would actually know what He just said. Amen? It's because I'm going to Him that this is going to happen for you. And then right after that, He says, and if you'll ask anything in my name, it's going to happen for you. So we're going to build this the way He built it. Amen? Wise master builders, we got to build this thing the way He's building it. Glory to God. How many of you want to answer prayer? I want all that He has purchased. There is some serious inheritance. The devil wants us to live in the brickyard all our life and come to church, but to live in His system, when Christ has a bountiful inheritance for us in every area of our life. Power, 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 riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessings, joy, peace. But we have to enter into that place. Amen? And sometimes it seems so hard. We just live somewhere else. Really, I'll tell you this. It's getting easy. I told Pastor Chuck that. I said, you know, it's going to get easier and easier and easier. I said, you're going to get to the place where you can enter in every day. I told him that 2 weeks ago. I said, it'll be a rarity you're not entering in. You're not going to get blocked. He goes, man, I don't quite have that. That's 2 weeks ago. Thursday night. He said, 5 days in a row running now. 5 days in a row partaking of the glory. That's awesome. Because if you can do it 5 days in a row, you can do it the next 5 days in a row. I go, verse 3, and prepare a dwelling place for you. Remember, see that word? He goes, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to get to do this. I go to prepare a place, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you. Notice this. I'm going to receive you unto me. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am in the Father, you're going to be there too. And because that, because where I am in the Father, guess what? Because you believe that I'm in Him and He's in me, we're coming to dwell in you. We're coming to dwell. And so the same Father that I'm going to prepare this place for in you, we're coming to dwell in you. And it's because we're coming to dwell in you, you're going to do the same works, because it's the same Father that was dwelling in me. He's going to dwell. Say dwell. Dwell. Now, when you read the book of Little John, and he talks about if a man say that he dwells in God and has sin, he's a liar. He's not talking about your salvation when he's speaking the word D-W-E-L-L. Dwell and salvation are two different things. Do you understand that? When he says you're going to dwell in you, the denominations do it all the time. Salvation's a free gift. It produces the house that Christ wants to dwell in. It's your fire insurance. It's your house. You know that you can get saved and God never dwell in you for a whole lifetime. In fact, he did show up and dwell in you. You'd be going, denominations flip when the Holy Ghost shows up. You know what I'm talking about? How many ever come out of the denomination of the world? Because all they understand is salvation. That's their whole grid in life. It's to save. That's why their only message they can give to somebody is to get saved. But God wanted to dwell. He just didn't want to come and save you and then stand on the outside of your house the rest of your life. He wanted to dwell. Say dwell. Dwelling is the key. God cannot dwell in you unless he's one with you. And you're not going to experience dwelling until you set your faith to come in to that place. If you can only go in there by faith. Amen. You go in by his word. Now, we're talking about praying in the name, because I'm going to receive you where I am. I'm going to receive you there. And this is why I said, in the works that I do, you'll do also, because I went to the Father and prepared a place for you and brought you to where I am. Because you're in me, you can now pray to him. Did you get that? Because now you're into me, you can pray in my name because you're in me. You know there is a difference in praying, saying his name and praying in his name. Do you know that's a huge difference? And that's why the prayer's not getting answered. Because we're saying the name. Say the name. Beautiful song. You ever heard that? It's not you saying that name. It's praying in that place. He goes, because I'm going to the Father, now you can pray to the Father in my name because you're in me. Because the Father will hear you now. You want to know when the Father hears you? You ever wondered why God's not heard you yet? You want me to tell you a place every time you pray he's going to hear you? When you come into the name, God's ear goes like this. When you're in the Son, you've honored the Son, God says, I'm wide open. When you're in him, you move into a positional place, then you ask according to the riches and glory that he's purchased for you. Father, I ask according to all the riches and glory that's in this wonderful name, because we're in him. Because Jesus went to the Father and prepared this place, now I can ask in his name, Father, because I'm in his name, I ask you according to the riches and glory that he's purchased for me. I ask you, Father, in his name. See the difference? You see the difference? Even in the old, the people could not just call upon God. They had to come to the temple. They had to make the sacrifice, and then they made their request to God. We have to come into the temple. We have to be found in him. And then we pray from that place of his name, because you're asking the Father because you're in him. I know it's deep. I know it probably shakes a little bit of your understanding of things. But don't you think that if we had it right, the Father would be answering us a lot more often? You know what I mean? The reason why the church is not operating, because we're not where we're supposed to operate from. We stand on the outer court and we want God's 100-fold glory. He said, you'll never find it there. You have to come into the temple. What we need to use our faith for first is to access our position. Well, how do I know if I'm in there? There's this powerful thing called love that's not of this world. It's going to start flowing. Because I don't know anybody who doesn't get in there that the love of the Father doesn't start manifesting up into their temple. He's going to shed the love of the Father abroad, and you're going to walk around with a baptism. That's how you know. Because you're going to meet His love. And His love is awesome. Amen. His love is awesome. And He tells you, He goes, I'm going. Verse 4, He goes, I go. He goes, whether I go, you know the way, you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He goes, sure you do. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Do you hear that? I am the way. No man's going to come to the Father but by me. No man's going to come pray to the Father but by me. Do you see that? I'm the way, the true. No man's going to approach the Father outside of being in me. You're not going to go around. Because what we do is we stand here and shout to the Father because we haven't entered into the Son. We're trying to actually go around the process. You see what I mean? We say His name, but He says no man's going to come to the Father and approach Him. The Father that's dwelling in the temple now is a different. He was dwelling in that outer temple. You still had to go to the temple. We have to come and approach the Father the way He said to approach Him. Come through the Son, be found in the Son, move into the place of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ dwelling in your heart. When God finds Christ dwelling in you, you'll start asking and He'll start answering. Because you're now praying in. Say, I'm in. I'm in that name. I'm in Him. Booyah. I like it. I know you like it too. Everyone say amen. Now, look here. So let's get back into this. Verse 11. Verse 10. Believest thou not, see now, that I'm in the Father? Notice His message. His message was, you can't just believe on me. You got to believe on Him that sent me. You got to believe that He's in me. Because this is what we want. We're coming to abide in you. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me? The Father in me. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father? Why did He want you to believe that? Because that same Father is coming. And He dwells in you. And you get that revelation, it's going to change the way you pray. You got to get a revelation. I know you got the knowledge. When you get a revelation, you'll start meeting with Him where He is. Amen. The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself. The Father that dwelleth, say dwelleth, He's doing the works. There's a difference between saved and God dwelling in you. Did you know that? That temple's there, but doesn't necessarily mean God's dwelling in there. He's dwelling when your faith activates it. The only thing that's going to activate the indwelling of God in you is your faith in what He said and taking that word and holding it. I hold it. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And if you'll keep these words that I'm speaking to you in the upper room, my Father and I are going to come dwell in you. We're going to dwell. Say dwell. Dwell is active. Dwell is presence. Dwell is glory. Dwell is power. Manifested love. Dwell is manifestation. Dwell. We're going to dwell. Everyone say, Father, you dwell in me, in Christ. I'm in you, Jesus. I'm found in you. I'm found in you. I've been buried with you in baptism, and I'm raised with you in glory. My life is hidden away in you. Hide me in your tabernacle. Hide me in your pavilion. I step out of this earth's jurisdiction, and I step into the kingdom within. I dwell in you. You dwell in me. I am one. You can never be religious and pray like that. Religious people just get up and walk out on that one. They can't handle it. It's too much for them. I tell you, I was sitting one time when I was working. We were doing some things at a car wash. This guy asked me, why does all this blessing come upon you? He goes, man, I watch you every day. I said, I pray. I said, let me show you right now. And I started praying. He backed off like this. He looked at me and I said, what? He goes, man, dude, I cannot be around you. You pray like that. He goes, man, God will strike you down. I said, well, right now he's blessing me. But that's his religious mindset of God. He'll struggle all his life. So the words that I speak not of myself, the Father dwelling in me. He's doing the works. Verily I say unto you, now you're going to understand this chapter. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, you'll do also greater works, because I go to the Father and prepare a dwelling place for you and come back and get you and bring you into me. And then we're in him, and then he's coming with me and we're in you. And because that same Father that's dwelling in me, he's dwelling in you, you're going to activate that. And when the Father starts dwelling in my name, when you come into my name and pray to him from that position, he's going to answer you. And then the world's going to know he's with you the same way he was with me. That's the gospel. Everyone say, that's the gospel. And see, that's what he said. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatsoever you ask while you're in my name. You see the difference? Then saying the name and being in the name. You know why the church doesn't have it? Because they have no revelation of being in him. All they have is a knowledge of him. They've not come into the place where they're actually in him. Until you experience the indwelling, like Pastor Chuck and I were talking about how hard it is sometimes to get over to people, because everyone already saying, yeah, he's in me, I'm in him, I got it. Got the t-shirt, brother. But because they have not really experienced the indwelling and how to enter into the indwelling of the temple, they're missing the whole thing. They just know Christ is in them. How many of you know Christ is in you? How many of you can enter at will into the temple and experience the indwelling? Because if you can, the one thing's going to manifest upon you daily is the Father's great love is going to be shed abroad in you. And when it is, he's going to cast the fear out. It's going to cast the torment out. It's going to cast out. It's going to start casting out all the internal issues. So you can't say, like John said, don't come up in here and say, he's dwelling in me and hate your brother, because that is not possible. Because if he's dwelling, if he's come to a state of dwelling in you, that love would have already conquered your hatred. What you're saying is you're saved, but don't come up in here and say he's dwelling in you. Because if he is, that love would have conquered. And another thing he says, don't come up here and say he's dwelling in you and have habitual sin, because it's not going to happen. He's going to cleanse your temple. Just say you're saved and you've got some issues. That's what John was talking about, but don't come and say, when you read the book of Little John, you'll understand it now. Don't say that the Father's dwelling in you and you're walking up in here with habitual sin. It's not going to happen. You're just saved and you've got some problems. But if you've got the Father dwelling in you, he's saying that love is so powerful, it's going to wipe out whatever your problem is. And until you get to the place of the indwelling, you won't know. It's all found in Christ. Father gave him all things, appointed him heir of all things. All that the Father has is mine. And he called you up into him. See, Christ merged heaven and earth. You meet with the Father in the Son. And because you're in him, you have a right to pray to the Father. Because he's presenting you faultless before the Father. Because he's presenting you holy and without blame. Because you're accepted. See, Father says, I accept you. You're in the Son. I see you in the Son. Go to Matthew 6. I'm going to get it over. Matthew 6:6. And I want you to look just for a minute at verse 9. After this manner, pray you therefore, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you know in Luke 11, when he talked about the same thing, they actually asked Jesus when they came to him, teach us to pray. Because they saw that he got answered prayer. Teach us how to pray to the Father like you do. So we got the Lord's Prayer, right? Lord's Prayer. Let's look at the position of the Lord's Prayer with what we now know. Look at verse 6. Before you prayed the Lord's Prayer, let's see where you were supposed to be. Before you prayed. Verse 6. But thou, that means you, when you pray, enter into thy closet. That word closet is the interior chamber of the heart. Enter into, say, enter into a jurisdiction that's not of this world. How do I know? Next verse. And when thou hast shut the door to the world system, the flesh, the devil, pray to the Father, which is in secret. See what he says? Pray to the Father, which is in that secret place that you just went into. Right? Pray to the Father, which is in there. You move from one jurisdiction to another. Okay, this is the inner chamber of the heart right here. The sanctuary, right? This is where you meet the Father. This is where he is. But you've got to go through a door. Okay? Here's outer court. Hello, Father? Hello? Hello? Oh, that's what that place looks like. See, Christ is the door. You had to go through him. Oh, now you're in a jurisdiction because the Father's here. If the Father's here, you're definitely in a jurisdiction that's not of the world system. The Father that seeth you in secret. You want another revelation? Father, do you see me now? 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 See, when you're in the room, Father goes, oh, I see you. Ah, oh, that's what you look like. It's been a long time. See that? So you come in to where the Father is. Then you pray. Jesus was saying the same thing, but the way he said in John 14, he says, you're going to have to pray in my name because you can't even approach the Father. Because I was the door you went through, by the way. And until you come into the room where I dwell, you can't even approach him, much less talk to him. He's going to see you in me because you're only accepted by him when you're in me. You're accepted by him, but he hears you when you're in me. You see it? He loves you. He sees you in the Son, then you can fire away. Father, I need this. I need that. You've been in the wilderness. You need to start asking. When you get in there, start asking. You see that? You have to come through the Son. When you're found in him, ask when you're in my name. Because you can't even be with the Father unless you're in me. Now that you're in me, we're both in the Father. Now he's going to hear you. Because you're asking in my name. Isn't that good? Ooh! Okay, one more and then we'll close. We're going to close. First close. Go to Psalms 27. Just phenomenal. I'm going to show this to you in the old. We're about to close and open. We're going to open. We're going to go in and out. This is why in John 10, by the way, he said, you'll go in and out. Everyone say, you're going to go in and out. Why? Because you go in and pray and you go back in the world and demonstrate. I go into the Son. I'm in the Son, Father. I'm asking in his name. Oh, yes, I hear. I ask according to the riches and glory. Now, when I go back out in the world, you're going with me. And you're going to go in and pray. Go back out and demonstrate. Go back in. Seek, pray, fellowship, get filled up, ask. Amen. Glory, receive it. I'm going back out. Demonstrate. We've been standing in the outer court asking God to demonstrate. We haven't been coming in. You got to come in. He's going to see you when you're in the Son. Oh, get me in there. If I were you, the first thing I would do is take all my faith, all my focus, all my attention and set it to start moving into the temple. Start learning how to move into the place of in Christ, being found in him, Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory. What did he say, by the way, in John 15, just real quick? If you abide in me, say if. If you're abiding in me and my words are abiding in you, if you're in me, then you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. But if you're not abiding in me, you can ask what you will, but it may not be done for you. You see the difference? You got to understand your jurisdictional access to the kingdom of God. We've only been preaching that for about 3 years now. So you got to get it. Amen. There was a reason why he's taking us down the trail. I'm excited because I can go in there and obtain the inheritance. See, the devil wants me to work all my life here. Be a slave of his system is what he wants. To be a slave of the system of mammon. But I'm going to go in there and get my inheritance from the Lord. I'm talking about a financial inheritance because he purchased one for me and my family and my generations. And he purchased one for you. And I'm going to go ahead and find out how to get it. I am not going to stand before him and not having received of what he purchased for me. That is just not going to happen. Way too hungry for that. Amen. Way too committed to walk up in there in this lifetime and walk up into him. And he showed me, oh, I had all this for you. You missed that. Uh-uh. Not me. Oh, no. Not you either. Amen. It's not too late. He wouldn't have you here if he didn't want you to know this stuff. What you do with it is going to be very important now. Amen. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it will. He cannot lie. If you meet the qualification of being found abiding in him and his word abiding in you, you can ask what you will from the Father, and it will be done for you. That is a fact. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in his temple. A New Testament would be dwelling in the house of Christ, whose house we are, Hebrews says. We are his house, that I may dwell in him all the days of my life. First stage is you got to move into where he is. Second stage, you'll start beholding his beauty. Is he beautiful? Because the Father's beauty is manifested in him. You start beholding his beauty, you get caught up in him. Glory. It's the highlight of your life. You stop wanting anything else but just to be with him. I don't need to be entertained anymore. There's not much can entertain me anymore at all, but he can entertain me all day long. It's glorious to be with him. You're dead. Your life is hidden away in him. Then, watch what happens. Once you behold his beauty, you're in him, then you can inquire where? Make your supplication, make your request, what? Inquire in. Say in. They inquired in the temple. Do you see that? Because they're in him. He hides me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He hideth me. Guess what? There was no temple. David hadn't built it. Solomon built the temple. The only thing they had was the tabernacle where the Ark of Covenant was, and David was not allowed to go in there. He was not a high priest. He was talking about dwelling in God. Father, thank you for your living word, the words that are spirit and life, the words that grant us access to all that you are, that all that you have. Seal this word, Father, download it. Let the ones that are hungry, Father, oh, seal it, Holy Spirit, seal it. Open the eyes of our understanding this day. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of your glory, of the inheritance you've purchased for us. We ask, Father, according to the riches of those glory, to be strengthened and filled with all power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Let the sevenfold inheritance of riches and glory fill our temple, manifesting into us and through us. In your mighty name, Father, we are found in the Son. We're in you, and you hear us, Father. You've granted us the access, and we're accepted in the Son. Father, bless your people as we go out there. We're going to stay in you, Jesus. We're going to be found in you. Even driving down the road, we can be found in you. Talking to Nicodemus. Me standing in heaven while we're talking to people. Bless your people. Bless your inheritance. Bless bountifully, Father. In your mighty name. Amen, amen.